14th Annual Funny Book Awards. I'm Aaron.
This is Paul.
This is Wayne.
And I'm Andrew.
Well, 16th you guys annual, all look like 16th.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. Like, yeah, I mean, are the funnies are old enough to drive.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, and, it is the, you know, show I look forward to every year, unlike the comic books I'm not looking forward to every week.
Oh, dear. You know, guys, you all look magnificent in your tuxedos. It is a star-studded night of awards and conversation. You know, 16 years we have been doing this, and I'm pretty excited to have this conversation. Though I do think that we have some deep conversation about some of these categories. I'm looking forward to getting into it.
Are you ready for old men shaking their fists at the sky?
I am. So you know, just as a refresher, the way we do this, each of us brings a nomination for each category. So you'll have four different nominations for each category. We'll discuss it, take a vote, and, you know, we may have winners in a category. We may not have winners in a category because sometimes that's just how it goes, you know, if we can't come to a consensus. But majority wins here on the Funny Books with Aaron and Polly. So, you know, if you have the majority of the votes at the end of the round, that is the winner of that category. So with that, I believe, Paul, our first category is favorite supporting character.
It is, in fact, favorite supporting character. So this is, you know, obviously not the lead in the book, not the person the book is named after, but the favorite supporting character of 2025. Let's let Wayne kick us off.
So this one I have something for, and it's one I actually am excited to talk about. I usually try to think of a character that's been throughout the entire year, but I will say my nomination is one that is more appeared near the end of the year, and it's Dr. Zeller from Batman.
Oh, I like Dr. Zeller.
Yeah. She really stood out to me and made me, like, I would read the book, and she was a huge highlight of the book, and she challenges Bruce and Batman both. So very much a standout character for me this year.
Yeah, I like Dr. Zeller a lot. She's not my nomination, but I do like Dr. Zeller quite a bit. My nomination is for favorite supporting character. It comes from the pages of Absolute Wonder Woman, and it is her trusty steed, Pegasus.
Oh, that's a good pick.
I love Pegasus. I grin every time I see Pegasus on the page. And my biggest complaint is that we just haven't had enough of Pegasus. You know, Pegasus is, you know, you're thinking of the winged horse if you're not somebody who is reading Absolute Wonder Woman. And that is correct, except this is Pegasus after Pegasus has died. So it's sort of animated corpse Pegasus with a personality. I really, really enjoy Pegasus. I love the visual. I love the character. I love it. I love Pegasus. I need more Pegasus.
I mean, for me, the first run of Redcoat, we were plagued with a horrible supporting character, young Albert Einstein. I very much enjoyed in this kind of second arc of Redcoat that we have a much more entertaining, enjoyable supporting character in the Northerner. A somewhat mysterious character, but I really enjoy his interaction with Simon Pure. Kind of a more adversarial relationship between the two of them, more enemies become friends to work together type scenario. But maybe it's partially just the change in quality from Albert Einstein to the Northerner, but that would be my pick for best favorite supporting character for 2025.
All right, Polly, that brings us to you.
We're not going to have a winner in this category, funny enough.
Oh, my.
Because, you know, I have not finished the second arc of Redcoat, and I do need to, because that character, the Northerner, is apparently like a time traveler, so he's going to be up in the upcoming issues of Geiger as well. I need to get caught up on my whole Ghost Machine saga stuff anyway, but my nomination is actually a group of people, and it's Bruce Wayne's friend group from Absolute Batman. You know what? And you're gonna see a little trend spoilers in today's conversation, as it relates to Absolute Batman. you know, in that book, Bruce Wayne's Rogues Gallery, or Batman's Rogues Gallery from the main DC universe, has become his friends, is, you know, his group of childhood friends that they grew up. So Edward Nygma, Oswald Cobblepot, Selina Kyle, Waylon Jones, I think is Killer Croc. You know, they're his friend group in Absolute Batman. And, you know, and as time progresses, they're not just his friend group. They actually, once he confesses that he's Absolute Batman, they become his like supporting cast. You know, his computer guy, his, you know, his money, stuff like that. Oh, and Harvey Dent is in there too. And just, I really appreciated how they established these characters and took their time in getting to familiarize you with the characters. And then I'll talk a little bit more in a little bit about what happens to them. So, you know, unfortunately, we don't have a winner in our first category. We rarely do, unless there's some main standout character. But you know, so we've got a four-way tie.
The thing that I thought was interesting about when I was doing my work here in prepping for the funnies is that, you know, we have some perennial favorites, you know, that tend to pop up in certain mm-hmm. categories. For instance, you know, we frequently have a conversation about Lois Lane or Jimmy Olsen or, you know, somebody from the Superman family. And, you know, what I'm noticing is that in the books where we really like the supporting cast, it seems like many of them have taken a larger backseat than they normally do. And I thought that was an interesting sort of cross spectrum impact across the various books and publishers we read.
Yeah, well, and if you look at one of the Superman titles, it's set in the past before right. Lois. So
yeah. So Paul, I think you were taking us over to favorite villain.
Yeah, and you know, so I might as well continue my discussion about Absolute Batman, because my favorite villain of the year was Absolute Bane from Absolute Batman. You know, I talked about how the Batman's friends, his friend group, were my favorite supporting characters. Well, Bane demolished all of them in the span of one issue. He uncovers Bruce Wayne's friends group, and in order to break the Batman in a different way than what we're used to in the main DC universe, he broke his friends. And so, you know, basically the transformations of these characters into rogues, Edward Nygma into the Riddler, Oswald Cobblepot into the Penguin, you know, Harvey Dent into Two-Face, is all done by Bane in the Absolute universe, and all in the most brutal, heartbreaking ways possible. And that Absolute Bane arc is a violent, just really, you know, not to use the same word again, but brutal read. You know, it definitely was a new storytelling style for Batman than I've seen in a while, or you know, something different than I've seen in a while from the Batman books. And I really, really liked that arc, and I really liked how Bane was portrayed. You know, I know a lot of people made fun of how huge he is. That's kind of the point. You know, I understand that Absolute Batman is an acquired taste, but I have acquired the taste for it. So, I mean, Absolute Bane, definitely my favorite villain of 2025. So how about you, Andrew?
Yeah, for me, my favorite villain is not from one of the traditional, you know, comic book powerhouses. One of the looking at the wall of comics one day, picked up a first issue of a new series. Didn't realize it was a sequel series, but called Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees Right of Spring. Yes. And was shocked to discover a adorable anthropomorphic bear named Samantha Strong, who runs a delightful hardware store in a delightful little small town, who's also a horrific serial killer and murderer. So I went back, once I realized this was a second series, I went back and read the original Beneath the Trees, but I've very much enjoyed Ride of Spring, and it's got one issue left to drop, but it's been amazing. And I've both, unlike Event Horizon, where it's just all disturbing, you know, Beneath the Trees and Samantha, she is both fun and also just horrific to read about.
Samantha is the villain?
Yes.
Samantha is that Strong. How, Okay.
Because she was my Sam.
Right.
That's his favorite hero, Andrew.
I read the first series. And I haven't read the second series yet. And I was just so disappointed that the first series was not a 25 book. All came out in 24. But I would not have characterized her as a villain.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay. Okay. How would you characterize her?
I would characterize her as perhaps an anti-hero, but a hero.
Mm. I don't know, man.
It's okay.
Anytime you're burying bodies in the woods.
What are you going to do with them? You're not just going to leave them laying around. I think that's responsible to bury.
Maybe don't murder the people in the first
place. Ah, people got to be murdered. There are people who just need killing.
I mean, sorry, did you see her more as like a Punisher type person?
I just see her filling a need. You know, there are people that need killing.
Have you seen the movie American Psycho?
No, I haven't. Is it something you're recommending?
No, I was just going to ask if you thought that he was an anti-hero. okay, moving on.
All right.
What do you got for favorite villain?
So my favorite villain, you know, my favorite supporting character came from Absolute Wonder Woman. My favorite villain comes from Absolute Wonder Woman, and it is the god of the underworld, Hades. I love how he is presented as the big bad in the book. He is the reason why Wonder Woman's adopted mother, Circe, is exiled to the Wild Isle. And, you know, he's really the reason why all of this got put in motion, right? And I love how he is portrayed. I love how he talks. He's got like a real character about him. And, you know, Wonder Woman keeps screwing with him. And I love that it, you know, it's obviously building up to something bigger. But, you know, it's one of these, it feels like a fresh villain. Even though, you know, Hades is a character old as time. But I really enjoy Diana threatens him, you know, like, you don't want to make an enemy of me. And he's like, how dare you talk to me, a god, that way? And I love the interplay between the two of them. I think he's just a fantastic creation. I really enjoy him on the page. Really enjoy how Diana responds to him. So Hades, god of the underworld. Wayne.
So I try to pick a character that has had an impact over the course of the year, but this will be the first of, and not the only category, that I don't have a nominee. I don't have a single villain that stood out this year to me. There were certain villains that had major story arcs, like Doom, for example, took up half the year. But I'm not rewarding that story. So I don't have a nominee for favorite villain. And it usually is one of my easy categories.
So let's go ahead and talk about this now. I think all of us, most of us, if not all of us, really struggled with the categories this year, you know, due to the books we're reading, due to perceived quality in those books, or, you know, how much we like the stories that are being told. But, you know, you've heard Paul and Wayne talk a little bit about it, how they, you know, had difficulty, you know, finding answers for the various categories. I noticed when, you know, one of the things I do when I'm prepping is I pull up my Comixology because I buy all my comic books digital, and I look at what's eligible. And, you know, for the 16th annual Funny Book Awards, the comic had to have been first time published in 2025, calendar year 2025. And as I was looking back, because you can sort by publication date, you can, you know, various different choices you can have to sort. And so as I was sorting through that, I noticed how many books in retrospect in my collection that I paid cash money for that I did not enjoy.
Yeah, that I, just yeah, okay, right?
Yeah, yeah, they were fine. They're fine.
I found the exact same thing. I looked through my books over the year, and it's like, I really disliked a lot of the books I bought this year. And in previous years, when it came new comic book day, I was excited to go see what was out there and do my purchases. And this year, it would usually be a Friday. Like, I am buying my books not because I'm excited to go buy them, except for a very few. I'm buying my books because we're going to talk about them the next day. And I'm buying books that I don't ever get around to reading because I just don't feel like reading them. You know, I'm wasting money on these books that I'm not reading because it's a habit to do so. And I have to wonder, is it the state of comics as they're in right now? Or have I changed enough that it's just not the hobby for me anymore?
I think it's safe to say that based on everybody's kind of response to the categories this year and the eligible books, I think it's got to be the books, not us. Right. Yeah,
I would agree with that, you know, because I will tell you, and I don't think it's comics. I think it's media in general. Mm-hmm. You know, before we were on this podcast, we talked a little bit about Landman season 2, you know, but also if you think about our pop culture podcast that we had a few weeks ago, you know, I think 2025 was a year of just fine entertainment with some critical standouts. You know, in movies, for me, there was, you know, I was looking at the movies I saw in 2025. I'm like, 98% of this was mediocre, but like Sinners and Frankenstein stood out to me. You know, in comics, so much of it was mediocre, but like when we talk about these awards today, you know, anyone who's listening to this podcast for the first time would probably think, he only read 3 comics this year, you know, because like the awards are so weighted towards, you know, just a few series that I read, because in the end, you know, only a few series really stood out to me, but they stood out by far. And I'll talk about them, you know, once we get to those categories, because everything else was just kind of fine. Like, I will say there's only a few books this year that I read that I'm like, I hated that book. Most of it was just like, it was like the new episode of Landman. It's just like I watch it, and once it's over, I forgot what happened in it.
It was disposable entertainment, right?
Yeah. But that's how I feel about movies, you know, like whether it's the latest Avatar movie or 90% of what came out. And even we're going to talk about favorite movie based on a comic book this year. You know, everything was fine, except for Superman, which I hated. But everything was fine. Whoa. You know, we'll talk about it. But we'll get there in a minute.
I'm looking forward to that category. But yeah, it's the same way, Paul. When I look at my books, you definitely see like 2 books are in multiple categories as we go.
And I think they will be the same books. And I think, you know, Exquisite Corpses will, you know, I mean, I think we'll see that there will be some books that just really stood out to us this year. And for me, it was some of these categories were hard, but some of them were no brainers because like they're the only ones I genuinely like look forward to reading to every month when they come out. You know, some of them are PDFs that we get from the comic companies, and I get so excited to read them. I read them when the PDFs come out. But in general, like some stuff, I, you know, especially if we lag on podcasting or it's a comic that we don't all talk about, like Absolute Wonder Woman, every time it comes out, like I just kind of get to it a few months down the line and get caught up.
And that's why I ended up dropping the Absolute books, because in the beginning, I was really on board with them and I was enjoying, you know, what I was reading, but I got to lagging. They just became, for me, the okay reads. And if we weren't going to talk about them, I wasn't going to get to reading them. And before long, I found I was 5 issues behind.
No, I will say that's how I felt. But then some of them turned around for me, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, especially you'll see I'm talking about Absolute Batman a lot. Spoilers as we get to favorite hero next. Absolute Batman was my favorite hero for a lot of, because of the strength of the Absolute Bane arc. So I think there's been some books have certainly turned around for me, but some books have turned around in the opposite direction. Like, not to be mean, not to pounce on Superman again, but like the main Superman title, I'm like, you know, like it's good. I'm reading it every month, but am I loving it every month? No, but I loved it last year. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, the main Superman book I loved at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
But not by the end.
You know, for me, it, kind of what you guys are saying is that the big 2-3 comic book, their main stock that they're putting out, I've been very uninterested in, with a couple exceptions. But the is, and I just read less series as a result of it. But I do really like that, like the 4 or 5 series I've been reading all year. I really like them, which is why I've stuck with them. So I will probably have a similar pattern of you will see repetitive themes. But I don't think that's necessarily new for me because I just also tend to read less, but
I think I'm reading for pleasure. I'm not reading anything new that's coming out, and usually I go to like some of the indies are my big ones. I'm going to my back catalog and reading the stuff that got me excited when I was younger.
Yeah, you that's what I do.
What it's my, worth, Wayne. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Andrew.
No, I was just that's what I do on my Marvel Unlimited, Wayne. Is that I will go back to 80s. In 90s books, you know, things like maybe I read either read in their entirety or maybe something I read like 6 issues of but couldn't get all of because back in those days you couldn't just get everything.
Yep. Especially X-Men, because there were like 50 X-Men books and they were all tied together.
Yes. So I love going back and doing those older reads through old series on Marvel Unlimited.
Well, and I find that the books that I am most excited about that are published currently, first run, are the books we're not talking about on a week to week basis. You know, that's the books that only, the book that only I'm reading, right? Like there's a book from Image right now, by Rick Remender, called Escape. And it is an amazing book, you know, and it is so hard to describe. You know, the characters are all anthropomorphic. It's set in a World War II-like setting. It takes place behind enemy lines after the great big dog's bomber gets shot down. And as ridiculous and whimsical as that sounds, it is a pretty hard-hitting book about, you know, I don't want to call them heroes, but, you know, people who fight in wars, you know, and the toll that takes and the sacrifice that those individuals make, good or bad, you know, for the cause they're fighting for. It is so deep, and it's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's told allegorically, I guess. And it's one of the best things I've read, you know, this year.
Let me ask this question.
On the same line, Aaron, I am really enjoying the Captain Planet book that I never talk about, because it's an updated version of it where it is a kind of a modernized version of something I enjoyed as a kid, but is ridiculously horrible propaganda as a kid. But we never talk about it. So I don't.
Yeah,
I didn't even put it up for any awards because I really enjoy it. But it's also a little new.
So let me ask this question. Do you think we should be talking about?
I think we should.
I think we just need to. I think
we need
And this is. Go ahead.
We need to zone in on where we're excited.
Yeah,
and that's what we need to be talking about. And you know, I think that we lean in towards the Marvel, DC, and some of the Image and IDW and Dark Horse stuff because that's where the superhero stories are, and that's kind of our common. But I think that until some of the writing changes over with the big companies, I think we're going to have to lean into the stuff that, you know, maybe all of us or even a couple of us aren't reading, you know, maybe it's, you know, one of us presenting the case for why people should be reading.
Yes. Book, yes.
You know? Well, we find commonalities in those other books. And I think that's what I was going to say. It's kind of specifically to you, Wayne, you know, I think this hobby is for you. I think what we as fans of this hobby need to do, much in the same kind of breath as I talk about cinema, like I think we need to look for alternatives to the main continuities of the big two. Like for what it's worth, I think I still enjoy DC books, but I'm enjoying the absolute line more than the main line. Mm-hmm. You know, Marvel, probably some of the one-off stuff I'm enjoying a hell of a lot more than One World Under Doom or whatever it was called.
Well, and when it started, I think we were enjoying the Ultimate stuff better than we were the mainstream Marvel stuff.
Probably still are. You know, I mean, I know you guys are probably still reading Ultimate Spider-Man. Maybe you're behind, but it's probably still better than the main Amazing Spider-Man book.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's about looking for those things. And like I alluded to earlier, like think books like Exquisite Corpses, like that one I read as soon as it comes out. First book.
Absolutely.
Every
We will be talking about that book.
Yeah. So I think that's what it is. I think we have to, you know, as comic book fans going into 2026, knowing what's coming in 2026, not to be mean, is more of same. You know, how do we, you know, there are books from Image that just because, like, from a time perspective, I haven't really had a chance to read because I'm reading the stuff we talk about first. But, like, there's a couple of interesting, like, noir-ish books, like Good is Dead or Everything Dead and Dying coming out of Image that I've been wanting to read but just haven't had a chance. And maybe it's just about prioritizing those and finding, you know, because I think it's, to a certain extent, I think 2025 became the year even more, you know, than previously that I think our reading became more the reading of obligation rather than the reading of entertainment.
That's very
And maybe that's something that, you know, we as comic fans need to support the books that actually do excite us. Talk about those creators, and, you know, and share it with our listeners.
You got me feeling each other. 2026, Paul, because I think that is the problem. It is, I am picking up the books that are, I'll pick it up because it's the first part of a crossover and I feel obligated to talk about the crossover. And not necessarily reading the books that I would be excited to talk about. And the ones I would be excited about aren't the ones we talk about.
Yeah. So, and to be fair, we're going through this as comic fans. Comic writers and creators go through this all the time. That's why you see guys like Jeff Johns, you know, start their own universes. And you know, Brian Michael Bendis, you know, embracing the independent stuff. I mean, it doesn't pay as well. But, you know, it's how they really find their joy in their job.
Are you saying, Paul, that if we make this change, that if we start reading the books that we're passionate about, or we start talking about the books that we're passionate about rather than the books that we've got common ground on, are you saying it's going to impact our pay?
I feel like we're gonna make the same. Well, no, I think we'll probably make the same amount that we do now.
Okay.
It'd be hard to make less than what we make now.
So. Well, I was just concerned that there'd be additional deficit spending.
Yeah, so, exactly. Right. That we'll have to pay more, basically. Yeah,
as it is, we already are losing money on this endeavor.
That's right.
By buying books that we don't want to read.
So for me, I'm very much interested in reading different things and trying different things, but it's been harder though since going to physical comics because, you know, in the past years, in the Comixology years, if one of you guys mentioned a book that sounded interesting, it was real easy to go and, you know, buy the entire backlog and read through it real quick. In a physical comic world, if you guys mention a thing, I'm like, well, where am I going to find the trade? Is it, you know, where I got to pick it up. I got to run out. It's a trip. I just can't lay in bed and you know, catch up on a series. So if there's something you guys are excited about and want to talk about, especially if it's a newer thing, but even if it's something where I can catch up on trades and read through it that way, I just need more advanced warning or knowledge.
But I think, Andrew, for what it's worth, at least on my end, it's probably more about embracing the books that you do regularly read that I just don't get to. You know, I've already kind of mentioned Ghost Machine books a few times. Like, I want to get back into that stuff. Like, I'm so behind on Rook and Geiger and Redcoat. Like, and those are books you're reading for the most part. Like, I just need to get caught up on that stuff.
The others.
Well, now you will because the Northerner's coming in. Well, also, you know, just a little inside baseball. We get PDFs from Image Comics. So, like, you know, so we can, you know, we can get to those books without necessarily having to worry about Comic Shop availability, but you know, stuff like that. I mean, I genuinely, you know I was excited about Ghost Machine. I fell out of love pretty quickly, but it's not because I just didn't appreciate the books. I just kind of got behind on them.
Albert Einstein's horrible, but
Andrew, I think you'll get a kick out of this. I was talking to my wife last night about the categories and how I had nothing for, favorite villain, and then I was also complaining about how difficult it was to go through the Comixology/Kindle to look at my books and figure it out. And she's like, "Maybe you should talk about that. How bad Amazon messed up Comixology." I'm like, "We talked about that for like a year, and one of the guys even came up digital comics because of it." Like, no, I think I already have talked about that enough.
Yeah, and that was our holy shit moment.
Well, I gotta say, Paul, every time there's not been a new issue of High Street for a while, but I went and reread the entire run. I think there's nine issues. Have you read that series?
I haven't, and I'd like to. Paul,
when I read Hyde Street, like every, I just read it thinking this is a, I think this is a comic book Paul would really enjoy. It's a horror comic done pretty darn well.
Hmm. Well, I just need to give it a shot, so I will.
Okay. All right. So all favorite hero?
Yeah, favorite hero.
Third category. Got it.
I do have one for this one. I don't know if it's because of the state of the world or because of the movie I love so much or whatever, but I really needed Superman this year.
Mm.
It is a sign of, the character of hope. I needed the hopeful Superman. And when I go to Metropolis for the Superman celebration, you know, I remember sitting out there in a parking lot with over 1,000 people staring up in the sky at a Superman drone show, and you hear the music play, and you see, like, these kids are excited about the character. And that, to me, it just, I went back to my core of what I really needed out of a hero, and it was Superman. And some of the books in the beginning of the year, I thought the books were doing a great job and they really were hitting for me. Middle of the year, they kind of lost me for quite a few of them. I am enjoying still the story of the young Superboy that we're getting over in Action. But really, it is less about the books and the stories being told, because when I went back to reread stories, I went back to Superman. It was my comfort character for the year, and it is in a world where I am struggling with what I see on the news every day. He is a character that brings me comfort, and yeah, part of it probably influenced by how much I loved the movie, but I went with Superman, and it's not as much for the comics.
So my favorite hero this year is somebody that I don't believe I've ever selected as my favorite hero. He is often.
Is it me, Aaron? Did you pick me?
That's right. It is Wayne. This is a character that always comes up in the discussion, but you know, it never a character championed by myself in my memory. It is Batman, and I love the way Matt Fraction is characterizing Batman in the pages of Batman. It is such a fresh take, and don't get me wrong, it's not, you know, a reskinning of the character or anything like that. It's just the stories and how Batman is responding, and in particular, what I think is really strong is I love the Bruce Wayne of it all. I just am really enjoying Bruce in the pages of Matt Fraction's Batman. It's a terrific book, and I just am enjoying it. I always like Batman. I never loved Batman until recently. And it's in the pages of Matt Fraction's Batman. Well, so,
and in that book, even besides Batman himself, the supporting cast
is fantastic.
My pick for supporting cast came from that book.
Yeah.
But also Tim Drake.
Yeah.
We got the Tim Drake that we used to love so much again back in that book.
Well, my original holy shit moment, until I checked when it came out and found that it didn't qualify, was the scene in the most recent issue, which actually came out January 7th. I thought it came out at the end of December. So it wasn't eligible this year, but it is where Damian, in Robin costume says to Bruce in Bruce costume, you know, refers to him as father, and Dr. Zeller overhears it. That was my holy shit, my original holy shit moment. So, but it wasn't eligible, but I did get to mention it. Haha, I'm a winner. Anyway, I love the book. I think the book is fantastic. It has some of the same feel as the Batman in the pages of World's Finest, written by Mark Waid. I think it's a great book. It's a great book, and I know we're not nominating the book at this time, but the character of Batman, aka Bruce Wayne, is fantastic in that book. And Andrew, what you got?
Yeah, so I've seen in over the years, I've been exposed to Spider-Man noir and in various team-up books, usually never set within his own time period, not within the 1930s. He's always somewhere when I've seen him as part of the larger Spider-Verse doing, you know, multiverse type stuff. So a new Spider-Man noir series written by Eric Larson came out this year. Started this year. I think there are 4 issues in. And I have really enjoyed getting to Spider-Man Noir in his own, you know, 1930s world, doing 1930s stuff and trying to solve, you know, the murder of George Stacy's death. So my favorite here, just kind of off a little bit, as I haven't really enjoyed a lot from the main two, but I've really enjoyed Spider-Man Noir, which is why he's my favorite hero of 2025.
Check that out. I haven't read any of that that current title, so I have to check that out.
Yeah, I've been wanting to because of the Eric Larson aspect, so I need to give it a shot.
How about you, Paul?
I mean, obviously, mine was Absolute Batman, as I alluded to earlier, I really enjoy how that character has evolved in 2025, and I think that's something that I'm appreciating. It's funny, I think I'm appreciating, in Absolute Batman and Absolute Superman, the evolution of the characters. I think Absolute Wonder Woman in the latest issue is still the same Absolute Wonder Woman that we saw in issue 1. I feel like Absolute Batman and Absolute Superman have grown over the past year in a way that you don't often see in comic books. And so I really appreciate what we've seen out of Absolute Batman. I really highly recommend the Absolute Bane arc. So you can kind of see what I'm referring to. But I think that character, and I don't know, I'm weird, but I like chonky Batman. I like 350-pound Bruce Wayne. You know, like, he's just, I don't know. I like that character visually. I've really come to embrace the whole axe thing that's on his chest. Like, I just really have come to appreciate Absolute Batman as a character. So, you know, we're 3 categories in.
And no winner.
With no clear winners. But that's okay. That's okay. We've got something here. I don't know that we'll have a clear winner, but I think we'll have a winner, because I think I know what you guys are going to go vote for, and it's not going to be what I vote for. So our next category is favorite TV show based on a comic book. There wasn't a lot, you know, to choose from this year. We had just a couple of different TV shows this year. We had we had a decent amount. I'm going to list off some so you guys can, so that listeners can know what was eligible. Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, Daredevil Born Again, Ironheart, Eyes of Wakanda, Marvel Zombies, What If, Creature Commandos, Harley Quinn, Peacemaker, The Sandman, and The Boys were all in contention this year. For me, there was only one that was anywhere near being something I would consider my favorite. So I'll just go ahead and start since I'm talking. For me, it was Daredevil Born Again. Like, not even a question, no doubt whatsoever. Daredevil Born Again for me was my favorite TV show or comic show of 2025. It was even though it struggled a little bit at the start, I find that once the TV show found its footing and introduced the Punisher back into it, the second half of that season really sung for me. Seeing the Kingpins rise, seeing that character turn, and seeing Karen come back, it felt like a return to form for the show, and I'm genuinely looking forward to season 2 of that show. So, Aaron, how about you? What was yours? I think I know what it is, but we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong.
There were 2 series this year that I very much enjoyed, and Daredevil Born Again was certainly one of them. I think it's a really strong, you know, showing. I think it's a return to form for the Marvel TV series. I very much enjoyed it. However, the show that I raced to every week, it was the first thing I popped on once it dropped on HBO Max, was Peacemaker Season 2. I effing love that show. I love every character in it. I think that show is just so well written, produced, acted, directed. It's a fantastic fantastic show. And it breaks my heart, Paul, that you haven't watched it yet and that you're not burning with excitement to watch it. Because it's
not. And I don't know why. And I can tell you why. It's just I'm not embracing
the Gunniverse.
I'm not embracing the Gunverse, you know, the whole current DC continuity of Creature Commandos, Peacemaker, Superman. I will say for me, I think part of it is that I just didn't like Superman as a movie. So it it didn't inspire me to want to see other things in that universe right now, which I hate to say. I'm a DC guy, you know, through and through. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Marvel, but I'm a DC guy.
You sound like me when everything was the Snyderverse.
Yeah. I didn't want to. I'm not anti-gun because of Snyder. We know I was a Snyder guy, right. But I'm not anti-gun because of Snyder. I'm pro DC regardless of who's show running it, unless it's like a horrible person. I just I can't get into it. Currently. There's other stuff.
I had that problem with all of the shows and movies that were tying in with the Snyderverse is that I didn't like that universe. So when I would look at a new property, it would already be like one step back for me because it was part of that universe. It would have to overcome that. And most of it just didn't for me.
Well, so, what was your favorite TV show?
When? Yeah. So for me, it was an easy choice. Hands down, it was going to be Peacemaker. I looked at the other shows that came out, I didn't realize some of the ones Paul listed were out this year. I really enjoyed Marvel Zombies until I didn't. I thought it started strong and it fell apart. I never finished Daredevil. Paul, you said it recovered itself. I never got to that point even. I too many episodes without him even being in costume. I did enjoy Creature Commandos, but again, I haven't finished it yet. I still have another episode left to watch, but I did enjoy it. But easily, the show I looked forward to, the show that I resubscribed to HBO for, the show that I just love the characters so much on, is Peacemaker. And I love all the characters. It wasn't just Peacemaker that I'm tuning in to see. I want to see all of them. I want to see how they interact with the other world they're in. And I was shocked by cameos. You know, when Lex Luthor shows up, it was a huge moment for me, and it shouldn't be because it's just an actor in a role in a universe, but I didn't expect to see anybody from one of the movies show up in the TV show. And he did.
Well, for me, I want to make a third there. I mean, Daredevil Born Again was my runner up. It was a strong series. I love seeing Daredevil and the Punisher on the screen. But I got to give the nod to Peacemaker season 2 because, much like Aaron, it was just a fantastic show, and I just loved watching every single episode. So I think that gives us our first winner of
winner
2025. Yeah,
it's Peacemaker season 2.
Woo!
All right. Well, congratulations to Peacemaker.
Before we jump in to favorite movie based on a comic book, I want to say I there was a movie, a superhero movie, a comic book movie, I should say. I'm not sure you can call it a superhero movie, but a comic book movie that came out this year that was, it seemed like it was universally panned, that everybody said was terrible. And it did dismal numbers at the box office, even though on Netflix it is listed as a action movie hit. I watched it last night.
Are you talking about Kraven?
I am. Okay. And Kraven the Hunter, don't get me wrong, is not a great movie. I will say I was entertained. And, you know, maybe because I went in with such spectacularly low expectations. There are many things I would have changed about the movie. But I got to tell you, at the end of it, I was like, you know what? I was entertained. That was time well spent. I probably would have felt differently had I gone to the theater to see it, to be perfectly honest. You know, I got to watch this on my back porch, smoking a cigar, drinking scotch. So, you know, that automatically boosts its appeal to me. So, I kind of enjoyed the movie. I got to ask Andrew, because you were able to pick it out in the crowd. Did you see it? What were your thoughts?
So I also saw that it had come to Netflix. I've not watched it yet, but I did put it on my list. I was like, it's for me, it falls in that like Venom, Madam Web, Morbius level of movies that I watch streaming, and I usually enjoy them more than the critics had described the theatrical release. So it's on my list to watch.
I can't say very much about Madam Web. Madam Web was as bad as they say it was.
I haven't seen that one, but like I feel like because I did see Kraven. Kraven kind of for me. The way I can describe it is Kraven is perfectly fine watching on an airplane. Like it's an airplane. Like it's perfect throwaway entertainment. It reminds me a lot. In fact, most of these, what is it? Not 20th Century Fox.
Sony.
Most of these Sony movies. Yeah. They're perfect streaming movies. They remind me kind of Marvel before Marvel became. Yeah. The cinematic powerhouse. This is the stuff that you got in the 90s, right?
They remind me of early 90s comic movies.
Yeah. Like Ghost Rider. I mean, that was, I guess, fun. Yeah, I enjoyed the Venom movies. Movies
are fun. They're not good movies at all, but they're fun.
Yeah. Yeah, and I didn't think after I saw it last night that it deserved the vitriol that it earned online. Because I was like, you know what? The actor was doing a great job. I can't fault him. I think there are problems with the script, certainly some problems with some directorial choices. But, I've also seen, many other terrible movies, much worse than that movie in the superhero space that did not earn the same sort of venom that this movie did. But
let's talk about the superhero movies this year, because there wasn't a lot to choose from. So like this year, intentionally so, I think this was a year of like restarts for Marvel and DC, a little bit of pivoting. So when we talk about what was theatrically released this year, or we're going to include streaming because the Academy Awards do as well. We had Captain America, Brave New World, Superman, Thunderbolts, The Fantastic Four, First Steps, and The Old Guard 2, are kind of what qualify as superhero movies for 2025.
And I will say, out of all the ones I saw, most of them were okay.
I would say most of them were okay. If I had to choose one, which I will, because, out of all of them, there was, even though I will say all of them were okay, we know I've got strong Superman opinions, I won't go into them, but like, out of all of them, the one that I would actually probably watch again, and I've only seen all four of these movies once. If you put all four movies in front of me and say, hey, which one do you want to watch tonight? I'm going to surprise you with my choice.
Thunderbolts?
It's Captain America, Brave New World.
Really?
That does surprise me.
Out of all four, because I feel like, don't get me wrong, Thunderbolts and Fantastic Four were better movies. I feel like Captain America, Brave New World had more fun, was more easily digestible for repeat viewing, had more action, and I feel like I enjoyed it more, despite the fact that I do understand Thunderbolts and Fantastic Four were better written, better acted, better, I won't say better special effects, and I think Fantastic Four was as close as you're going to get to a perfect Fantastic Four movie. It truly embraced the comics, but the one I enjoyed, and that's the key word, the one I enjoyed the most was Captain America: Brave New World.
I have watched Captain America: Brave New World twice. It is a fun movie. I definitely don't put it anywhere near my favorite of the year, but I enjoy it, and I enjoyed Thunderbolts. Paul's opinion on Superman is basically my opinion on Fantastic Four. I hated it. For me, it was an easy choice. The movie that I've watched 6 times, 7 times at this point, and smiled every single time, loved every single moment, have the t-shirts, have the toys. This, for me, was definitely the year of Superman in the movies, because I love Superman. It is, nothing even came close this year when it comes to movies for my favorite movie of the year. And I don't just mean comic book movies.
I think what I have wanted to say for a long time now is that Wayne is the real punk rock.
Yes. Yes, he is.
My selection is Superman as well. And for all the same reasons that Wayne says, I've probably watched it 5-6 times since seeing it in the theater. Really enjoy that movie. But I gotta say, I also very much enjoyed Fantastic Four. I think it is so close of how much I like both of those movies. But, you know, hearkening back to something Wayne said earlier, Superman carries extra weight for me because of what he means to me personally and how much I need that in my life. So it scratches a particular emotional need for me, you know, in the Superman storytelling. So I think that kind of puts it over the edge when I like both the FF and the Superman movie so much. But I have to say, and I'll say one more thing. Of the movies that we talked about, Superman, Fantastic Four, Thunderbolts, Captain America, Brave New World, I enjoyed all of them. And I won't just say that they were fine. I enjoyed all of those movies. Well, I remember coming out of Brave New World, yeah, there were some problems with it, but I really liked that movie. Liked the characters, kind of liked what we saw. Wish that there had been more Red Hulk. But, you know, I really enjoyed that movie. And I think Thunderbolts was fantastic. So, you know, despite the fact that it was a smaller field this year and, you know, that the companies seem to be pulling back as they, you know, kind of rethink the superhero space, I thought it was a good year for superhero movies, for the movies that came out. The only ones that we talked about that I haven't seen is The Old Guard 2. And the only reason I haven't seen that, because I really enjoyed the first one, is I heard a bunch of issues on set. And I just haven't wanted to be let down in watching on that. So,
yeah. And so my complaint of I wish there was more of in Captain America wasn't Red Hulk. It was, how do you do a Hulk sequel without having Hulk?
I completely agree.
We needed Green Hulk. Agree. Yeah. And there were so many moments that would have been paid off just by a cameo of the character, because it was a sequel.
Yeah,
to the last Hulk movie. And I would have loved to have just seen some of those emotional moments paid off. I didn't need to see a Hulk versus Hulk fight. It would have been cool, but right. I just wanted a Bruce conversation with some of these characters.
Completely agree. Andrew?
Well, yeah, for me, I really like Fantastic Four. I really like Thunderbolts. I really like Superman. I enjoyed Captain America Brave New World, but just looking at how many times I watched, I've seen Fantastic Four twice, Thunderbolts 3 times. I've watched Superman like 5 times.
Yeah.
Since it came out. So I'm going to make it another vote for Superman, which is a little odd because I was a big Cavill fan coming out of the Snyderverse. So I wasn't quite sure what I was going to think of this corn and sweat guy playing Superman. But watching that first time in the theater, I just fell in love. It's a very different take on Superman. It's very much more hopeful, vulnerable take on him. But I love his chemistry with Lois. I love this interpretation of Lex Luthor. So for me, I just love the new Superman movie. Sorry, Paul.
That's okay. I kind of expected that. And I will say 2026 looks to be another limited but strong year. You know, you've got Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, which it does look like fun. You've got the Clayface movie, which sounds silly, but it's written by Mike Flanagan, who I'm a huge fan of. Mike Flanagan, who's done like Midnight Mass, The Haunting of Hill House, and things like that for Netflix. He's really, a great writer. We've got Spider-Man Brand New Day, and we've got Avengers Doomsday. So we've got 4 comic book movies I'm looking forward to in 2026. So fingers crossed for 2026. But we've got a winner. Superman, second winner of the day.
Woo! We're on a roll.
Well, I mean, I will tell you, for the first time ever, we are going to have a winner in our favorite cover of 2025 category. We are, because Wayne and I both chose Transformers issue 25, which is the first issue of the Robert Kirkman Dan Mora arc. Features an iconic view of Optimus Prime on the cover by Dan Mora. It is just about a perfect cover for a Transformers comic book, and so that's why I chose it.
It stood out. I looked at a couple other Transformers books that had nice covers too, but this one, you get iconic Optimus Prime. You've got Starscream as well as some other jets in the background flying. And then below that, you have Optimus in truck mode and Wheeljack. And it just, for a especially for an issue that was a turning point issue with a new creator coming on board, it's a beautiful cover.
Well, my cover is Absolute Wonder Woman number 6, featuring a haunting cover of Wonder Woman, you know, heavy darks on the page, and she is illuminated by her lasso, the lasso her mother made for her. And so it's glowing red, and, you know, she's illuminated in various shades of red, and it even changes the color of her logo. I think it's a great cover. Andrew?
Yeah, for me, you know, Red Coat in this era, they've done a lot of wraparound covers. So Red Coat number 13 has, I just love it. It's a wraparound cover featuring the Cobbler on one side and then the Northerner and Red Coat on the other side. And it has these different time disc portals that they're all kind of flailing through. And I just, it strikes my fancy.
I'm curious, are there number of different Cobblers, you know, as like the Cobbler family, like Peach Cobbler and Apple Cobbler and Berry Cobbler?
I can only hope that that's going to be the case. I mean, I've not met any of the rest of the family, if that is the case, but God, I hope that's the case.
Okay.
As it goes on, maybe we'll start to meet the other members of the Cobbler family.
Yeah, and, you know, the odd man out in the Cobbler family, you know, the Apple Brown Betty.
Well, I can't believe it's the end of the era. 16 years. We went 15 years without a winner on favorite cover. And here we are. Year 16, we have a favorite cover winner.
We're changing things up. It's a whole new
world. With your cover, Andrew, it makes me want to give Red Coat another shot. I didn't like the first issue, so I didn't stay on board. But you got me with time travel.
Yeah, I mean, the first run with Einstein, I think you can just skip that. I don't have it right in front of me. I can get the number. But in that second run, it starts off with three different one-off stories. One about a murderous family in Kansas, one about Annie Oakley. I'm blanking on the third one. But then it goes into this Northerner storyline.
Got and me it's sold good. There. An Annie Oakley story?
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
If you can find the issue, Andrew, I will start at that point and read some of those and give you a book report.
Yeah. No, that sounds awesome, man. I've enjoyed this. It's not perfect still, but I've enjoyed the second arc way better than the first arc.
We'll be talking about that soon.
And that brings us to the holy shit moment of the year.
You know, for this one, you know, I will say it hurts me that the latest issues of G.I. Joe and Transformers are releasing in 2026, because both the latest issues of those books have such good holy shit moments. Like, I don't know if you guys have read them yet, but both of them have striking holy shit moments at the end of them. But I was like, damn it, I have to choose something from 2025. Those are 2026 books. So for me, actually, for 2025, I went meta. Sometimes we go meta on this category. For me, the holy shit moment of 2025 is the fact that DC and Marvel did not release their biggest comic books of 2025 digitally, and that's Batman Deadpool and Deadpool Batman. You know, after 20 years of no crossovers between the two companies, while I understand they wanted to support the local guy, the small guy, the comic shop guy, I fully support that, fully support that. It's been 4-5 months since these damn books came out, and they're still not available digitally. Like, comics, you know, when it comes to supporting comic shops, give them 2-3 weeks, right? Like, after 2-3 weeks, you know, because of the nature of comic books and the fact that something new releases every week, it's not like they're still getting those sales as significant as they were. And I feel like DC and Marvel walking away from that money feels like a poor business decision to me, and not a fan forward decision. And, you know, this is something that fans have, fans don't want Batman Deadpool, but they want Beast DC and Batman to cross over with each other, or DC and Marvel to cross over with each other more. And so you finally do it and you limit it. And I feel like I always find it odd when comic companies do something so big and limit access to it, especially in today's wide open access.
Well, Paul, now that I think about it, when they did the big omnibus of the crossovers, they didn't release that digitally either, did they?
Yeah, they've not.
Fair point.
Here's what I'm thinking. And I've only thought about this now as we are sitting here talking about it, because I am upset about the fact they're not releasing these digitally, mostly because Superman, Spider-Man will be coming up. But is it more an issue that when they print them together, they have a one-time run and all the revenue comes in right then, versus digital is out there and people can buy it for years to come with money going directly back to them?
I wondered the same thing, Wayne, but they could always limit it. They could always say it's only going to be available for purchase, you know, from this date to that date, right? You could make it a one-time opportunity to purchase. Because I was wondering the same thing. Because I know that the rights have got to be just a bear, but you know, I think they are motivated by the fact that they're trying to use this as an opportunity to drive business to the brick and mortars, and that just really frustrates me.
Yeah, but it frustrates me because I don't want a physical product.
That's right.
I don't want it. So I don't want the product they're pushing. I want the digital reading experience. I want to not have books all over the place at my house or in boxes that I will never get back to reading.
And, you know, here's the thing is there are certain books that I'm going to buy physical copies of. Like, for instance, you know, last year, Marvel released the Micronauts series in, you know, great big omnibus hardcovers. Bought every single one of them. I also bought every single one of them digitally because I want to be able to read them when I want to read them without damaging my beautiful hardcover book. Similarly, yeah,
we hit on the other one they released last year, the Amalgam stuff.
Yeah,
I read them in the big hard book, but I would have much rather read them in digital form.
Well,
but I didn't own that either way. I would have bought the physical.
Yeah, and that's where I was going is that while I bought those hardcover omnibuses, I would also buy the digital copy. So they're missing an opportunity for those people that those books are aimed at to get a second swipe at their wallet. And it's just crazy to me that they don't do something with that.
I mean, you know, I bought the book twice when they censored out Batman's penis. So I bought the physical.
He needed that bat penis.
Yeah. So get the bat penis. My holy shit moment of the year was related to Paul's in that holy shit, DC and Marvel are publishing books together again. And I think that's great. I think that's great for fans. I just wish that they would make it great for me. So, Wayne?
Well, and one thing that I will say, just as a quick update, because, you know, in case the other guys move on to different categories, Batman Deadpool. So the first book is actually going to be released Wednesday, January 21st digitally. But again, it has been months since it was released in comic shops. You know, they basically, you know, that I don't know that delay was necessary, but I could be wrong. You know, maybe comic shops are still selling out a second, third printings. And, but, you know, again, from a fan perspective, you know, you got to get that in the fans' hands.
I am boycotting the book. I, however, won't boycott Superman, Spider-Man when they eventually release it digitally.
Yeah, you can't boycott that. That's Superman, Spider-Man.
Yeah. For me, so my holy shit moment, there were a couple that kind of were in the running throughout the year, but I go back to what book was I reading when I actually said holy shit? And it was at the end of the year. It was not even a good overall story, but the One World Under Doom, the penultimate issue where Valeria Richards gets out into the battlefield and gets her ass killed by Doom.
Mm. I hadn't heard that.
Well, that's the thing. It was undone the next issue. So, like, that's why I didn't choose it. But, yeah, I totally agree. That was actually on my list.
Yeah, in that moment when it happened, and it just, holy shit, they actually just did that. And then Doom sacrifices himself to bring her back to life. But that was the next issue. So in that issue when it happened, I literally out loud said, holy shit, because it looked like he just chopped her head off.
Wow.
Yeah. But, you know, and I think, for me, the only reason I didn't choose that is because they spent so long saying what's done in this battle cannot be undone, cannot be undone, cannot be undone. And then the next issue, they undo it. And I'm like, OK, well, that's like, I get it. Like, but you got to, for me, it was like it's because they undid it. But I mean, when it happened, I definitely had the same reaction, Wayne.
Well, for me, my holy shit moment of 2025 came in Beneath the Trees, Riot Spring, issue 3. At this point, it's obvious that Samantha's a serial killer, but they haven't somewhat been super graphic about it. And the art style in this book is very almost like childlike with these anthropomorphics, lots of soft colors, adorable little things. And so it gets me twice in issue 3, and skip ahead if you want to be spoiled, but it shows, if there's a flashback montage of Samantha thinking back to her early days of stalking people, asphyxiating them, driving them out to the woods, exsanguinating them, and then decapitating them, and then burying them over a course of about 2 pages. So right there, I was like, holy shit. As you know, you see this fox-like human hung from his feet from a tree with her slitting the carotid arteries and draining the blood into a bucket. I was like, Jesus, this is insane. And then I was like, well, that's got to be that for this issue. But about three pages later, there's a great flashback to where she murders both of her parents, who up until this point, she's always been like, oh, yeah, they retired to Florida. They retired to Florida. Nope. Turns out they didn't retire to Florida. She straight up murdered them with cyanide at dinner. And then I was like, holy shit. So yeah, those issue 3, those two, they get you with the kind of very graphic holy shit moment, and then they get you with the, oh no, her parents aren't really alive and retired. She straight up murdered them like 10 years ago.
My runner up moment was a meta moment of Paul not liking Superman.
That's a good one.
I mean, I was kind of surprised about that too. So we have a 4-way tie again. That's okay. Yeah. I mean, I think we might see some winners in our final categories, but we're not there yet. We've got our favorite limited series or original graphic novel this year.
I think we have a winner here. I feel like Exquisite Corpses is going to win this one.
I don't know that Exquisite Corpses is a limited series. That's why I didn't put it in
here. Yeah. No, I didn't
put it in here because I assumed it was.
It's a 13 issue.
We haven't heard how many issues it is.
It's 13 issues is what they've announced and what they still say they're going to do. But I don't consider 13's long enough that I don't necessarily consider a limited series. But I had it under also, since it's not finished, I didn't put it in limited. I've got it under ongoing series is where I threw Exquisite Corpses. But
well, I have it under new series.
I have it under, well, I don't want to give spoilers on where I have it, but I didn't put it under here for the same reason. I had a clear winner on this one for me for limited series, though.
Well, for limited question. Series, my nomination is Exquisite Corpses.
Yeah, I mean, if that's eligible, I'm then like mine, like it's no brainer. I'm changing mine.
was the first issue of Exquisite Corpses in 2025?
It was.
Yes. I looked that up.
I mean, I want it to win a award, so I'm fine putting it under limited series. So that's where we want to put it.
Put it under multiple categories because it deserves it. But let's talk about our original choices regardless. But I feel like Exquisite Corpses, I'm fine overriding because Exquisite Corpses deserves all the awards, frankly.
Absolutely. Yeah, I am going to leave my original choice out there just so it gets a mention. And that was Predator versus Spider-Man.
I have that later.
I did it as a limited series. That book was amazing. And the whole putting Kraven versus the Predator, I could not have asked for better on that. So, yeah, that's what I had as my limited series. I have Exquisite Corpses later on our list.
Yeah, my original favorite limited was Beneath the Trees, Riot of Spring, 6-issue limited series by Patrick Hogarth. But I can put that down under new series and switch down there if we want to put Exquisite Corpses here.
All right. So Beneath the Trees, Where No One Sees, and you said that was Rite of Spring. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, for mine, my original choice was actually the Superman Treasury Edition. I don't know if you guys, I think I was probably
the oversized.
The oversized one.
We were able to get it. Like, I went to multiple physical comic shops, and I was never able to get a copy.
You know, for me, the reason I enjoyed it so much, growing up, one of my favorite comic books growing up, I mean, I read it so many times, was Superman the Earth Stealers by John Byrne, Kurt Swat, Jerry Ordway, and Bill Ray. Yeah. You know,
I love that story. That story is so dumb, but I love it.
It is so dumb.
It is so John Byrne. I mean, the magnificence of John Byrne's pencils really wins the day in that book.
Absolutely. It's 1988, prime time for me, comic reading as a kid. I mean, I truly loved it. And I loved the history of prestige format books from DC Comics. Yes, I've embraced the digital, but some of my favorite comic books as a comic reader of all time are prestige format comics. Cosmic Odyssey, Batman versus Predator. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, the prestige format was a format that I loved. Absolutely loved. And yes, it was $2.99 instead of $1.99, you know, or whatever a normal comic book was. And Superman Treasury Edition, don't get me wrong, it's as dumb as the Earth Stealers.
Oh, yeah.
But it made me feel like a kid again. And that's why I chose it. But yeah, I mean, in the end, Exquisite Corpses, like I said, deserves all the awards. So because it is, we've confirmed it's a 13-issue limited series, started in 2025. It's going to get multiple awards tonight, just so you know. But Exquisite Corpses is definitely the clear winner there. There is no other book that I, in this entire year, looked forward to reading as much as that.
Correct. Every time I get it, I read it immediately before I do anything else. It's always top tier for me.
Which is funny, because then you would think... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I'd say very much so, to the point of... that's probably going to be the only book I talk about for the rest of the show.
You know, you would think that then James Tynion IV would be my favorite comic writer of the year because of that. But I actually have a different favorite comic book writer
for
2025.
Because I put James Tynion III.
Did you really? Okay. I mean, I get it. Hey, yeah. I mean, I get it. For me, I went with Joshua Williamson. You know, Joshua Williamson, he's writing the ongoing Superman book. But even more so than that, he's taken control of G.I. Joe.
Yeah, he was actually my runner-up. I had him on my list of people I was thinking about.
You know, of the books I look forward to, of the books, you know, we've talked about, the books that I have to read as soon as they come out, G.I. Joe is one of them. And even though I've got some art issues, so the artist won't be nominated, Joshua Williamson, he's writing such big books, and he's getting books out monthly. And, you know, the books he's writing are the ones I'm reading. You know, he's part of DC All In and DC KO and Superman. And he's about to start writing Iron Man, but he's still doing G.I. Joe. And so, I mean, for me, Joshua Williamson was my favorite writer of 2025. But the James Tynion IV, certainly, because of Exquisite Corpses, totally understand that one, too.
Yeah, Tynion is the writer that right now makes me excited to pick up a comic book. And this year, that's what it took to get my vote.
Yeah.
How about you, Aaron? Who was your favorite writer?
You know, my favorite writer is the guy who made me fall back in love with Batman again, and that's Matt Fraction. I just really love his take on Gotham City. You know, at Gotham City, you don't have to be crazy to live here, but it helps. I love that on the billboard in the most recent issue. I'm really enjoying his take on the character and the take on his family and the newly created supporting characters. It's fantastic book, and it's gotten me excited about Batman. So Matt Fraction,
friend of Funny Books, Matt Fraction,
friend of the podcast, Matt Fraction.
He was actually on Funny Books for those of you who don't remember. Matt Fraction was on Funny Books in February 2010.
Wow. Yeah. So far, I'm very happy with all these nominations. So, Andrew, disappoint me.
Yeah. Well, real quick. So, I'm just saying Matt Fraction was on the show the first year the show existed, right?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. This was back in the days where you could literally email the comic creators and be like, hey, man, I got a podcast. Do you want to be on it? They'd be like, sure. Matt Fraction, who was the one who coined Where's Paul?
That was Dan Slott.
Was Where's Polly, like the girl? I thought that was
Matt Sturgis.
Yeah. Matt Sturgis, that's who it was. Yeah. Okay.
Polly, when's she getting here?
Paul's Polly getting here? Hey, yeah. who was the guy that Aaron cornered in the alleyway for the interview?
That was Greg Rucka.
Greg Rucka. Yeah. That was our first interview ever. That was on our first episode.
Yeah. That Paul had to write all the questions because I didn't know who Greg Rucka was at the time.
Aaron, to this day, I still talk about the opportunities to interview Dan Juergens and Andy Weir from the early days of the show. Those I loved. I mean, there were a lot of other. I loved every time we talked to Raven Gregory and some of the others. But those are the two that really stood out to me as ones that the interviews were very good.
The fact that I didn't get a chance to talk to Dan Abnett still makes me sad when you guys interviewed him. So anyway, my pick for best writer, I had both Wayne and Paul's pick on my list. So Joshua Williamson would be my runner up, Paul. And so I went with the writing team, for Exquisite Corpus, James Tinney in the IV and Michael Walsh, for my favorite writer of the year.
All right. Did so we have win? A clear winner, James Tinney in the IV and Michael Walsh. We'll count both because they are co-writing that book.
Correct. Yeah,
there were a couple other writers as well that come in and out.
Pistachio is, I've noticed.
Pistachio. Yes.
I was so excited when I saw his name when I was looking through the other writers that were on with Tinian, just because it's like he's going to get brought up. We're going to talk about Portstash again.
From way back, was it when he was on Green Arrow? Is that when we first started talking about him?
I think that's right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that gets us a winner and favorite writer. But how about favorite artist, Aaron? Whose pens and pencils tickled your fancy this year?
I got to tell you, I absolutely love the pencils in Batman by one Mr. Jorge Jimenez. I just love how that book is drawn. There is a very similar Dan Mora type quality. But also, what's the guy who did Batman White Knight? I can't remember his name all of a sudden.
I know you're talking about Batman White Knight. Yeah, he wrote
Sean Murphy. Sean Murphy, thank you. I was thinking Shane, but I knew that wasn't right. He has one of the things I love about Jorge Jimenez is that he really pays a lot of attention to detail, particularly like in the technology being employed. I love his depiction of cars, not like just the Batmobile, but other cars on the road. In fact, the most recent issue, which is a 2026 issue, okay, yeah, but the most recent issue has Bruce Wayne driving his car, and it is gorgeous, reminding me very much of those White Knight books where I kept going, God, the automobile illustrations here is like a technical illustrator was drawing these. They were like, photo accurate. They were so well put together. Anyway, I'm very much enjoying the way Jorge Jimenez is drawing those books. I think it's really kind of creating sort of a Batman style that I really like. And it's pairing nicely with the Matt Fraction words and telling the story visually in such a way that it just makes it even more compelling. So Jorge Jimenez. Andrew, how about yourself?
Yeah, so this is going to be something that probably none of you have heard about. There's only three issues out of it. It comes from Bad Idea Comics. The name of the series is Planet Death. Just to give a little background, it's the writers Derek Kolstad and Robert Venditti. But the art is beautiful. His name's Tomas Giorello. Who isn't anyone I was necessarily that familiar with. He's done work on other books like Star Wars, Conan. I guess Dave Stewart's also involved in doing it, but it is just gorgeous art. It's I'm a fan of the Warhammer 40K Space Marines. It is a similar type aesthetic of kind of a grim, dark future of humans in power armor storming alien planets and dying horribly. Like I said, it's probably not a little bit of a dark horse pick there, but I just had to get it on my list somewhere. And the art, I just fell in love with it as soon as I saw it. They had their issue 0 was for free Comic Book Day. And ever since that, I've kind of been obsessed with it. How about you, Paul?
So for me, it's going to be, Aaron already kind of mentioned my favorite artist of 2025, which was Dan Mora. You know, I've talked about Dan Mora quite a bit this year because, you know, in addition to doing, you know, multiple books for DC, he was doing Superman and Justice League Unlimited simultaneously. And, you know, for me, it felt like, because it was the same artist, I felt like I was reading a connected universe in a way that I don't often feel in comic books nowadays. And I loved it. But not only that, he came and took over Transformer duties. And I'm like, I mean, once he did that, there was no doubt that Dan Mora was going to be my favorite comic artist of 2025. I mean, he draws the characters, those Transformers characters, in the way they should be drawn. And, you know, it was always going to be Dan Mora for me. He draws comic books the way that I want to read comic books. And how about you, Wayne?
So I had two that I was debating between, and I was letting you guys talk to see if either of you picked them. And damn, if you and Aaron didn't pick both of my top two.
Oh,
for the exact same books too, because like Aaron, if I love the pencils and the cars and the technology over on Batman, but Mora's work on Transformers is just so beautiful. And after, I've loved Transformers since the beginning of the book, but it has not always had the best art. It has had some terrible art at times, and he has really turned around the art since he's come onto it. I'm going to give the nod to Mora, because as I look through some of the other things that he has done over the course of the year, they may not be books that I have been incredibly excited about, but the art on them is all very solid. He also was the artist for Once in Future, and book two was coming out in this past year.
Oh, that's right. Once in Future. Forgot about that. All right. So we have a winner. We have Dan Mora as our winner for favorite artist of 2025. So next up, favorite event or crossover. We've got a couple of event books that happened this year. We've talked about One World Under Doom. We've talked about, the DCKO. You know, we've talked about some crossover books. So,
X-Men has something going that's horrible as well.
Yeah, X-Men has Revelation.
Yeah. Yep.
So, Andrew, why don't you start us off with your favorite event or crossover?
Yeah, I mean, I've not been. Yeah, I read absolutely nothing from One World Under Doom outside of Doom Academy, which was very unattached from the actual crossover. It was basically a Strange Academy move to Lemuria. I did not get into Age Revelation. The only event / crossover that I've read this year has been DCKO, which I thought about not awarding anything, but I think I will give it to DCKO just for the fact that I wasn't. When I heard the pitch, I was like, well, that sounds awful. That sounds dumb. I even read the first issue. I was like, this seems like an overly convoluted plot to get basically to be a battle royale type situation. Andrew, going.
That's because it is overly complicated. And it is awful.
But I got to tell you, especially once they got to the one-on-one rounds with the all fight month, which again, sounded stupid when someone said it to me the first time. I really got into it. I really enjoyed the eight rounds of All Fight Month. The seven I was able to buy. So I think I'm going to give it to DCKO. It's not an overwhelming endorsement. I don't know if it necessarily deserves to win, but it was good enough for me to nominate it, and I didn't have anything else that I thought was better.
I am right there with you on DCKO. It is not, you know, an important book. It's not, you know, Infinite Crisis. It's not Secret Wars, but it is stupid fun. And that's what I like about it. It's just stupid fun. And that's why I'm getting a kick out of DCKO. And like yourself, I think it's the only event book that I read consistently in 25. But I look forward to it. I kind of cringe at some of the setups, but I think that it's silly and it's stupid, and I sure am getting a kick out of it. Wayne, I know you wanted to jump in there. Go ahead and hit it.
I feel strongly that all the crossovers and events this year were horrible, and I am not nominating any of them because they are all terrible.
That's fine.
I dispute this, Wayne. I dispute it because, because I considered Predator versus Spider-Man a crossover. Because those are two different companies, two different properties, two different comic book series, two different continuities. And I felt like that for me, I mean, if like Predator versus Batman, I would consider a crossover, you know, like, so I considered Predator versus Spider-Man a crossover. And so even though DCKO was the only event book, I would say that I would qualify. But from a crossover perspective, I went with Predator versus Spider-Man.
Okay. I stand corrected on my everything was awful then, because that was what I put in for limited series, because that book was great.
Do you consider the Batman because... Deadpool as a crossover as well, Paul?
Absolutely. Okay. Two different comic companies, right? So I consider that a crossover.
I will allow it.
Yeah. All right. So we have a two-way tie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get me wrong. I like DCKO for it. Yeah. I like DCKO too, but you know, because we only had two issues published in 2020, I mean, yeah, we had a bunch of side books, but like Predator versus Spider-Man, regardless, like I loved that book. So got a tie. All right. Yeah,
Godzilla Justice League 2 is not as good as 1.
No, sadly. I was hopeful. All right. Our top two categories of the year coming into the home stretch with our favorite new series of 2025. I'll kick us off just because, like, we've already kind of talked about the book and I said it deserves all the awards. Exquisite Corpses is what I went with here because it started in 2025. You know, and so I absolutely consider Exquisite Corpses here.
Yeah, I had under ongoing because I thought it started in 2024. But if it's if issue one was 2025, then I would say Exquisite Corpses.
Andrew, spoilers, I have it under ongoing as well.
So I really enjoy Exquisite Corpses. I think it's a great book. It is not my selection for favorite new series. My selection for favorite new series this year is Nova : Centurion. It is a return to form for Marvel in its, cosmic space books. Richard Rider's back at wearing the helmet, and he is the he is a one-man Nova Corps, and he is out there as a hero for hire in the spaceways, you know, because he's got to pay for all the power he has to absorb, and he has to have a specific type of power to fuel the world mind. And it just really feels heavily influenced by the work of Abnett and Lanning back in the old Guardian of the their old Guardian of the Galaxy days. It calls a lot back to the Annihilus War. So it rewards folks who've been around, unlike a lot of the books these days that just kind of forget where they came from. This one really, I wouldn't say it pays homage, and it's not carrying around a bunch of baggage, but it is rewarding people who've been here for a while. So artwork's great. The story's great. We're getting to see some old characters from those old Annihilus books, the old space books by Abnett and Lanning. A character I had been wondering about for a long time, Cammy, shows back up. She was Drax's sidekick for a long time in those books. I'm getting a kick out of them. First three issues are out. I do recommend it.
So, Aaron, I want to call something out here. It goes back to what Paul was saying earlier. This is your favorite new book of the year. Why have we never talked about it?
Because nobody else read it. Nobody else read it. And
exactly. This is the book that I hear your passion about it.
Yeah.
We should have been talking about this book.
Completely.
Yeah, I'm definitely a follower. If I hear someone excited about things, there's a good chance I will start reading it.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot, Aaron. I mean, it's only three issues in, so I feel like I have the ability to hop in without being too far behind.
Yeah. Yep, and exactly. I love the Abnett and Lanning stuff. So
it's very much in that vein.
I mentioned how much I miss talking to Dan Abnett because I think he's a fantastic writer.
Friend
One of my favorite stories of this year was actually a Abnett story. It was not a comic story. It was in a Planet of the Apes anthology. He has two stories that were short stories in a Planet of the Apes anthology novel.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of all the stuff he does for Black Library, Games Workshop, Warhammer stuff. So I'm a big Dan Abnett fan.
Okay. Well, we have a winner. not surprising anyone that Exquisite Corpses took this award, but it sounds like we're all kind of interested in checking out Nova Centurion as well.
Yeah, definitely.
And you know, Wayne dropped a casual reference to Once in Future a few minutes ago, and so I forgot about that book. I feel like I need to get, I might do a reread on that. I shouldn't say reread. I think I only read the first arc.
I have it's like Saga. I stopped reading Saga a long time ago. And I just feel like there's so much to read now.
I'm excited. I will tell you, I'm kind of excited about the idea of just trying different stuff. Even if it means rereads or something like that. So yeah, I'm gonna give some books some reads for sure.
And that's I have the same feeling about Die.
Yeah.
Because now they're on like another series of it, and I quit reading at some point because we weren't talking about it. And it's like, I used to love that book.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, when the weeks that we're off, you know, that I don't have reading homework for the show, I'm reading stuff, you know, that I want to read. And, you know, a lot of that is exploring Comixology Unlimited, seeing what else is out there that maybe I missed that I don't have to pay for, you know, beyond what I'm already paying. And I'm finding all kinds of stuff to read that I'm really enjoying. Like I found a J. Michael Straczynski series of Twilight Zone books that he wrote. Cool. And they're fantastic.
Huh,
and
who knew?
I'm sorry.
I said, who knew? I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, it was written in like 2015, 2016, something like that. And I'll send you guys the link because it's available digitally. But it is fantastic, and all the stories connect. So it's like, you know, there's four different arcs that he tells, but all of them connect. And it, yes.
No, go ahead. Finish what I'm saying. I've got something.
They all connect, and it's just a fantastic, you know, storytelling device that he uses through that, and the payoff at the end is outstanding. Just love it.
Aaron, you don't need to send me the link.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
I do. I am looking to see if I can find a copy of it because it sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it was collected in trade paperback, so you should.
Well, we're going to wrap up with our favorite ongoing series of 2025. You know, these are series that they may have started in 2025, but more than likely they started before. But, you know, they will continue on. They're not announced as limited series, at least as of this recording. So who knows, you know, if they will be, but at least we consider them ongoing series now. I'm going to go ahead and kick us off because I've already referred to this book a few times. G.I. Joe. Was actually
G.I. Joe.
You know, there's no, you know, I when it came to books this year, and I did, I mean, I'm reading a number of ongoing series, but the book I thought about, what book am I excited to read every month? What book has had genuine surprises, genuine fun, you know, that I'm not reading out of obligation, I'm reading it out of true joy. And that's G.I. Joe for me. I you know, it's not perfect. It has some art issues that, you know, I mean, they've got some good artists on it, but, you know, sometimes they don't. But, like, I'm enjoying the hell out of it, and I'm enjoying what they are doing to take things that I knew as a kid and these characters that have had, at this point, probably 40-plus years of you know, continuity in their original universe and just kind of rebooting them with surprises and character deaths that were unexpected and integrating the whole Energon universe into it. G.I. Joe makes me feel like I'm reading a book that I would have read when I was a kid. And that's, you know, I've referenced that a few times. You know, the books that I read as a kid, Superman, G.I. Joe, those comic books, the shit that I still love as an adult. And so for an ongoing series that it's not challenging me like, you know, in the way that like a Beneath the Trees Where Someone Sees book would, it's just something I truly enjoy. And so for me, G.I. Joe with it.
Yeah.
How about Paul, you, Aaron? Or Wayne, go ahead.
Yeah, Paul, I'm going to change my answer because I found out a few categories ago that my answer actually is a limited series because I did have Exquisite Corpses for ongoing series. But now that I know it's limited, for all of the same reasons you just gave, I'm giving Transformers because for me growing up, I was a Transformers guy.
Right.
I am getting everything you are getting from G.I. Joe of these are my characters brought back and updated and surprise deaths and all that. I'm getting that from G.I. Transformers.
Guys, I'm going to go with G.I. Joe and make it keeps the Skybound love going. Cause kind of like what Wayne's saying, I was more of a G.I. Joe kid growing up, than Transformers, which I've gotten to know a lot more about Transformers through the Skybound series. But, I'm going to go with G.I. Joe for all the reasons Paul said.
I have never read a G.I. Joe book, nor have I ever read a Transformers book. I tried to read the Star Trek Transformers book, but I didn't make it all the way through. So
I remember that one. They make the Enterprise a Transformer.
Yeah, it was hard out.
I enjoyed the book. It was a terrible book, but it was a pure dumb fun book for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, and I get the nostalgia piece of it.
I do strongly recommend, though, you've never read a G.I. Joe book, never read a Transformers book. I strongly recommend you give G.I. Joe a chance. This one, I had never read a G.I. Joe book before.
I've never watched a G.I. Joe cartoon.
So you don't really need to.
Okay. That's been my concern.
I came in knowing nothing about G.I. Joe, and I love the book.
Okay. I'll give it a shot. I will legit give it a shot.
Yeah, you're in the same boat that I was of. I had no frame of reference. The only G.I. Joe I really knew was Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah. But I would suggest, instead of hopping into G.I. Joe, honestly, I would start with Duke and Cobra Commander.
Yes, that's true.
Two miniseries.
Yes. Yeah.
I feel like they are a good way to understand the continuity of it, and they're very singularly focused. So that would be where I'd start. And they're both classic.
Then I can point you to Scarlet, which was one of my favorite books.
Scarlet and Destro. Hey, but Scarlet was definitely better. But I would start with Duke and Cobra Commander.
I could take or leave Destro, but Scarlet was amazing. And Duke and Cobra Commander really set the stage of the story and the new world that G.I. Joe is living in, this combined Skybound world. But Scarlet's just so good, just as a standalone secret agent spy book.
Cool. My selection for favorite ongoing series is the book that I've talked about a lot through the awards, which is Matt Fraction and Jorge Jimenez's Batman. I just think it's a fantastic book, and it's hitting all the corners for me. I just love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
I'm about two issues behind, so I'll get caught up on that one as well.
The most recent issue is just a banger. I always get a kick out of when Bruce Wayne just gets to be Bruce Wayne, and I think Matt Fraction's got a great handle on it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
Aaron, I will say 2026 is off to a strong start.
What was that?
Yeah,
Aaron, you mentioned the art on the cars.
Yeah,
I am not a Fast and the Furious person.
The
beginning few pages of that last issue, it's like the Fast and the Furious has come off the screen and onto the page.
Yeah. And it really works. But the Jorge Jimenez artwork just really works and supports the storytelling visually, right? And so many times when you get into, illustrating a car chase, I'm like, okay, move it along, because the artist really isn't up to it. But he really is. It is just fantastic. So anyway, so that has been your 16th annual Funny Books Awards. And I got to tell you, I was a little concerned about how optimistic we were going to be, given some of our pre-show chatter leading up to this. We had some rather dark feelings around a lot of the books that got read this year. But
we definitely have passion for the books we enjoyed, though.
We did hear about
a couple books.
Absolutely. And I think we have a path. I think, instead of continuing to, try to haul up water from a dry well, we're going to go where the water is. And I'm looking forward to that. I think that's going to be interesting for us in 26.
Yeah. Well, and we start 2026 strong. We've got some strong books already out. I've already kind of talked about Transformers and G.I. Joe. Highly recommend the latest issues there. Next week, we've got Batman Deadpool finally being published digitally. We've got the latest issue of Exquisite Corpses, issue 9. We got some stuff coming to talk about, and I'm looking forward to talking about it with you guys.
Good deal. Well, hey, we want to know what you thought of the books of 2025, and what did you agree with us? You know, are you in agreement with me that Wayne is the real punk rock? Give us a shout at ideologyofmadness@gmail.com. And if we use your comment on the show, you could win a coveted, valuable Ideology of Madness surprise.
You can also hit us up on social media with all of your thoughts. IOM Geek on Facebook, Instagram, and X.
What a deal. Well, guys, we'll do it all over again next year.
Yes, we will.
For the 17th annual Funny Books Awards.
17th annual. Start counting down now.
every time I tell my wife that which number of award show we're on, when are y'all going to stop doing that?
She wants those free Saturday mornings again.
Yeah, and I'm gonna tell her that you guys talked me into staying on. You know that you know yeah. I was ready to quit the show. I was ready to quit comic books. But my guys, they reminded me what I love about comic books, and we're in it for another 17 years.
I feel like it's going to be a long time before I get more snickerdoodles.
All right, guys. Well, we will see you next week. Bye. Bye.
Podcast theme music graciously provided by Mark Andrew Pope. For more information, visit markandrewpope.com. Funny Books with Aaron and Polly is a production of ideologyofmadness.com. No Spider-Man clones were harmed in the production of this podcast.